Now, since President Trump won the election and Republicans retained control of Congress, there have been arguments that we would see a rise of the left in response. Some people have even theorized that part of the reaction to the conservative majority in office would come from the religious left.
Reverend William J. Barber has become one of the key figures in the religious progressive movement. He led Moral Mondays, a series of vigils that were held outside North Carolina's capital and got attention. Attendees opposed restrictions on abortion, limits on voting, and efforts to repeal the state's Radical Justice Act.
That's the Racial Justice Act. But despite the attention that the religious left has gotten since the November election, our next guest says it probably won't match the political clout of religious conservatives. Daniel Cox is the director of research at the Public Religion Research Institute. He joins us now. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've seen articles, commentators out there saying, yeah, we're going to see the religious left really come into prominence under a Donald Trump presidency. Why do you see that as unlikely?
Well, there are a number of reasons I identified when I wrote this piece for 538. And one of the bigger factors is wholly demographic. We're seeing a sea change in religious identity, and we're seeing that self-identified liberals are disaffiliating from religion at rates much higher than moderates and conservatives. So there are simply fewer religious liberals out there.
And let's talk about a religious left compared to what? What do you see as the power of the religious right? How did it come together? How much clout has it had?
Well, the religious right has been around, at least, you know, most people place it around the late 70s, early 80s, and it's had a phenomenal impact in reshaping the cultural and political debate. But when you look at some of, you know, the policy changes, they haven't got a lot of what they've been advocating for over the years. But in terms of the way we talk about issues and the issues that we're talking about, whether it's sexual morality, like same-sex marriage, abortion, they've had a big role in raising the profile of those issues.
And you write in that piece you mentioned on 538 that the religious right finds a constituency that finds it easier to come together on issues. The religious left, the people they'd have to bring together, there's not necessarily that kind of consensus. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so one of the things I did in the piece is I looked at potential members of the religious left, so Muslims, Black Protestants, Hispanic Catholics, white mainland Protestants, Jews, and Buddhists, and looked at them just over three different issues, the legality of abortion, same-sex marriage, and views of immigrants. And basically, what you see on just these three issues that these groups are all over the board, and there's not a consensus across any one of these three. So, for instance, Muslims are less likely to say gay couples should be allowed to marry, but they're very supportive of legal immigration and supportive of immigrants. Black Protestants, much more reticent on the issue of same-sex marriage, but favor access to abortion and are more ambivalent about immigrants. So, you know, there's no consensus across even these three issues, and I didn't even get into economic issues in the article.
Let's look back a bit. Have we seen a moment in American history where the religious left was more prominent?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think of the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement following Vietnam, a lot of these movements were infused with religious energy. The civil rights movement in particular, you could say sort of started or at least was incubated in the Black church, but also found support among white mainline denominations and among Jewish leaders as well.
We're talking to Dan Cox from the Public Religion Research Institute, looking at the rise of the religious left and why he thinks that won't actually happen. We won't see a cohesive religious left movement in this country, not with a lot of clout and unity anyway. Reverend William J. Barber, we mentioned, architect of the Moral Monday movement. Here's a clip of him speaking at the Democratic National Convention.
When we fight for 15 and a union, and universal health care, and public education, and immigrant rights, and LGBTQ rights, we are reviving the heart of our democracy.
Got a lot of attention for Reverend Barber's efforts in North Carolina. Why did people on the left get so excited about that, see so much potential there?
Well, I think you have to look at the context. North Carolina went through a sea change politically where they moved sharply to the right. And I think, you know, what happened there, there was a bubbling up of progressive energy to oppose a lot of the changes that a conservative legislature and governor were trying to impose. And I think that was the biggest thing animating progressive folks in the state.
But you don't see that translating into a wider nationwide effective movement.
I don't. And the other thing that we haven't talked about is the fact that on the left, too, there's not as much clamoring for religious rhetoric in the political sphere. In fact, if you there have been studies that shown that when secular liberals hear religious rhetoric, they actually get turned off and are less likely to engage. So, you know, that presents a significant problem when you want to try to create a coalition that spans the secular religious divide.
Yeah, you write about in your piece, the success of the religious right kind of put conservative as being attached to the brand of religion in a lot of ways. People saw religion and thought conservative politically, so that's a turnoff for people you see on the left.
Yeah, and this is particularly true for young people, right? So remember that, you know, young people, the civil rights is history. It's a movement that happened in the past. And you know, for them, when they think of religious activism, it's sort of wholly owned by the right. And so they think of opposition to same-sex marriage, opposition to abortion, sort of sexual morality issues generally, because they don't have the sort of historical reference points that older Americans have.
You also write about social media being a big rallying point for successful left protest movements, resistance movements, especially since Donald Trump's election, and the religious left not really being on social media that much at all.
Yeah, there's a pretty significant gap there when you look at some of the leaders on the religious right and those on the religious left in terms of their activity on Twitter or Facebook. And this is not to say they're not doing anything, but there's just a pretty significant discrepancy. And I speculate that at least it has something to do with age, that your average religious liberal is, I think, pushing 50.
We're talking to Dan Cox, Director of Research at the Public Religion Research Institute. We're looking at why he believes the rise of progressive religious communities in response to the election is unlikely.
And we want to hear from you. You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you see a rise of the religious left? Wherever you are on the political spectrum, is your faith an important part of your politics? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Dan Cox, Director of Research at the Public Religion Research Institute. We're talking about the religious left in the United States. He says it probably won't become a movement on a par with the religious right.
And you can tell us what you think by calling 800-642-1234 or by posting on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think that we're seeing or are about to see the rise of progressive religious groups after the election? If you're a member of the left, tell us if you consider yourself religious. Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers now. Dan is with us in La Crosse. Dan, hi.
Hi. I just tuned in. Maybe you've already covered this, but I get a lot of emails from Theos, P as in Peter, A-T-H-E-O-S, and Sojourners. I would consider both of them Christian left organizations. I've been a Republican, a Democrat. Right now I'm an independent and a strong Christian.
Dan, thanks for the call. And Dan Cox, you don't say there is no religious left out there, just that you're not seeing it rising as a really prominent political force.
Yeah, it's sort of fractured. So there, and particularly at the elite level, you can see signs of it in these particular institutions like Sojourners and Interfaith Alliance and those. But when you look at the grassroots, there just doesn't seem to be the same type of activity and organization.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We go next to Pat on the line in Three Lakes. Pat, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, my opinion is that religion is just about like any other part of our situation in the United States of America. Money talks. The religious right controls tremendous amounts of money. The Bradleys in Milwaukee, the Koch brothers, it's amazing. Liberty University, the religious left, if there is such a thing, controls nothing. The religious left is more or less about protesting. I don't have a stake in either one of them, but the religious left is never going to go anyplace because they don't have any money to go anyplace.
Pat,
good
thank,
ideas.
I got you, Pat. Dan, he's saying the religious right more prominent because more money.
Well, the caller raises a good point, and I think some folks in the religious left would raise that complaint, you know, particularly with the Democratic Party. When you look at the major campaigns, Hillary Clinton's campaign, even Barack Obama's campaign, there was not a huge investment in religious outreach. So I think that, you know, goes to the sense that, you know, this is not a constituency that has the ears of leadership in some cases.
Pat, thanks a lot for that call. I wanted to ask you, Dan, about maybe not an overarching religious left, but single issue coordination involving people of faith. I'm thinking of, you know, maybe the sanctuary movement, immigration movement, where there might be Catholics joining with people on the left over that issue, where they might be on opposite sides of the fence, say, on an issue like abortion.
So one of the things that's really challenging for progressives is there's, you know, if you look at sort of these silo issue groups like the environmental movement, they have a problem with sort of bringing in people of different racial, ethnic, religious backgrounds. And so one of the things that I think the religious left could conceivably offer the wider progressive movement is a way to sort of bridge some of these racial and ethnic differences in a way that I think could prove quite effective in the long term if they could get their act together.
Right. I've seen arguments that the left has a hard time making moral arguments for causes they favor because they've ceded the religious ground, the religious part of morality, to the right. Is there something to that?
Well, I do think there's greater hesitancy among liberals in general, but religious liberals as well, in mixing religion and politics. So you find when we ask questions about church-state separation, that liberals and religious liberals are much more likely to agree than conservatives. And I think at least some of this goes back to the fact that the main form of religious activism, as we talked about over the last 20 years, at least the one that's been most salient, has been conservative activism.
Talking to Daniel Cox, Director of Research at the Public Religion Research Institute, a recent piece he wrote about the rise of the religious left and why that rise isn't happening and is not likely to happen. I mean, a lot of people writing in favor of this argument, Dan, see this, what they're hoping for in most cases is a rise of the religious left as a reaction to a strong performance in the elections from Republicans, winning the presidency, keeping their majority in both houses of Congress. Do you see that potential for a backlash to kind of fuel growth in the religious left?
Yeah, I think insofar as, you know, Trump does things that are very controversial. His approval ratings remain mired in historically negative territory. That's going to bolster the progressive movement largely and the religious progressives as well.
Would you see it making sense for Democrats as a party or for individual candidates to put more energy into courting religious groups, religious voters in general?
Yeah, one of the interesting things that I mentioned in the piece is that increasingly people who are religiously unaffiliated have been an increasingly important part of the Democratic base because this group has grown dramatically over the last couple decades. 25% of Americans are now religiously unaffiliated. However, this group does not turn out at nearly the levels of religious Americans, and it's really difficult to reach them. So how do you go? Where do you go? How do you reach someone who's unaffiliated? They don't regularly go to a congregation, whereas it's much easier to activate people who are attached to religious communities. And so I think that it makes a lot of sense to you know, reach out, particularly in communities of color, who tend to be more religious in general. Because while unaffiliated folks could be potentially a huge untapped pool of voters, it's not clear to me at this point how religious liberals can reach them.
We heard from Nick in Milwaukee, called but couldn't stay on the line. Nick says he's part of the religious left, but he doesn't feel he has a voice. He teams up with progressives, and many of them, he says, are atheists, don't like that he has a religious background. Do you see that tension on the left? Obviously, there's been strong back and forth between the so-called new atheists lately and people of faith. Is that part of the obstacle here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you look at the views of atheists in general, people who are non-believers or don't believe in God, they don't generally have as anti-religious ideas and views as some of the new atheist crowd, Richard Dawkins and those folks. They tend to be concerned about, you know, religion and politics mixing, but don't have this sort of visceral negativity that some of that crew does.
And I wanted to ask, you've written about a religious diversity in the United States and a huge growth in that religious diversity. How has that shaped our politics?
Well, one of the interesting pieces that I wrote also at 538 was how we're becoming a more religiously diverse country and how that will affect our religiosity. And that piece explores the way that religious diversity actually may be undermining our religious commitment in the country.
We'll leave it there for now, Dan. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
We've been talking to Daniel Cox, Director of Research at the Public Religion Research Institute. He joined us to tell us why he believes the rise of a religious left after President Trump's victory is unlikely. You can read more. You can check out his piece and some of the data he's working with. We've got a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page. And you can, of course, share your thoughts while you're there.